Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't at least explore this option. You owe it to yourself and your family to at least look at that option and explore it. We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. Of course, I'm T-Bone, your host. And this week, we're going to be continuing on into the last phase of our Dental Business Made Simple framework. And we're going to be talking about the optimized section for this. So before we get into this week's episode, we have our co-host back. And so we'll turn it over for the face of radio, Meredith Cooper-Jones.
You sound surprised I came back.
Well, with all the stuff going on in my life, you never know.
All right. So before we get started today, I have a Google review of 3D Dentist. If you haven't either left us a Apple podcast review or a Google review of 3D Dentist, we would greatly appreciate it. This one says, I recently attended a 3D course and was very impressed with the instruction and facility. They provide everything you need and break down all the complicated mess of implementation into easy starting steps for you. The instructors are ready to answer questions and even take one-on-one time where time allows to discuss your own unique situations to help you better relate to the content. The retreat is also very nice and a great place to come together with other colleagues and maybe make a few friends. Everything is taken care above and beyond, leaving any attendee only to focus on learning and growing in a very comfortable atmosphere. Great courses for helping breaking down implementation and not drowning you in the science.
Wow, that's
so
a,
that kind. Was, that I did not a, write that, I promise.
That was a well thought out and thoughtful review. That is phenomenal.
Well, if you are interested in coming to the retreat, we have our 3D business boot camp has been great. It's taken off. We have a few spots left for June. And then also if you are looking to add implants, dental implants into your practice, we have a lot of exciting stuff going on with that. June is now sold out, but we have a couple dates in the fall for you to start implementing implants, guided implants into your practice.
Yeah. And of course, sleep apnea with Erin. That's always good. She's doing those on the road a little bit this year.
So Tampa sold out.
We just did California. Tampa sold out?
Yeah. So we have Raleigh. Wow. Raleigh is next.
I guess June is your next opportunity if you want to learn to implement sleep apnea. So that's awesome. Yeah. So what are we going to talk about this week,
Well,
Meredith?
Before we get started, today we're going to talk about the phase four of the Dental Business Made Simple framework. And this is kind of the core of 3D Dentist. So it's kind of exciting to be a part of this on the relaunch of the podcast. So optimize is the fourth phase. And that's just, you know, to make better or the most effective of a situation and the profit growth of the practice. Yeah. So talk to us about, I mean, the profit growth all kind of stems from the overhead.
Yeah.
So I know you break it down into like five different.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to back up for a second. And you know, what I mean by optimize
This is where, you know, I'm kind of feel like I'm in that phase of my career, you know, and it's really about going from good to great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And really you reach a point in your career, whether you've achieved all that you want or you can, or you're like, listen, this is kind of who I am. You know, family life's so much important to me, or I don't want to put the effort in, do the work that it takes to get to a certain level, but I'm very happy with where I'm at. And it's really about going from good to great. It's really about, in my opinion, incremental profit growth. In other words, you know, like when you add implants to your practice, mm-hmm. you know, you have a big, you can have a big jump.
Yeah.
And it's hard to save your way to that type of revenue right. or profit growth.
Change.
That kind of thing. So really Optimize is about going from good to great, focusing on truly optimizing what you got. And I want to just a gentle reminder to everybody that, remember, this Dental Business Made Simple framework isn't linear. Now, overhead is important throughout every process. You know, business automation is important throughout all of the steps. But, you know, for me, I didn't focus on my overhead with the fine tooth comb that I'm starting to focus on it until kind of now, because I'm hitting this optimized stage. There's very few procedures left to add into my practice. You know, we've got 8 operatories and we're running 3 dentists. There's only so much more you can do, but you want to continue to grow your bottom line, or you want to manage your bottom line. So that's really what this phase is about. It's not about giving up. It's not about kind of, getting complacent. It's far from that. And so Meredith had talked about a little bit about overhead, and really, I'm not an accountant. I'm not a overhead guru. It's never been an area that I focus on highly. Like, you know, I'm not bean counting, as I like to say.
I think that goes with your comma versus decimal
mindset. Yeah, absolutely. We need to do a podcast on the comma versus decimal mindset.
Well, I've had a lot of people ask me, and maybe this kind of goes into the end of this, but I've had a lot of people who come through the course, where do we order certain things? Where mm-hmm. do we order this? Do we buy cheaper versions of this? And I always say, he's not really one to nickel and dime.
I am. I'm a nickel and dimer, but not in the
sense that people would expect, though, you know?
Yeah, you know.
We could do a whole thing on that, though.
Yeah, we could. We could just make fun of me the whole time, you know? But there's 5 areas of practice overhead that I focus on, okay? And so what I'd like to do is list those out, kind of go into them, you know, at a high level. But number 1 is facility. And what facility is to me is everything I need to be able to practice dentistry. And that's going to be literally the facility, whether it's a lease space, whether it's you own the building and you're renting it to yourself, whether it's the pipes, the electrical wiring, the renovations, all those loans that are associated with that, the utilities that kind of go with that. And I also put equipment into facility. Now, equipment to me is going to be core equipment. That's going to be like your chairs, your handpieces, all of those things you literally can't do dentistry without. I'm not going to put like a CEREC machine or a CBCT into facility, because, you know, in a way it is facility, but, you know, those are optional items to a certain degree. So that's one is the facility component of it. And, you know, typically speaking, we like to see facility in that 5-10% ballpark. And so in a newer practice, when you have a build-out, a loan and things like that, it's going to be closer to the 10% ballpark. And in a practice like mine that is a mature practice, it's been around for a long time, it's probably going to be closer to that 4-5% ballpark. So the next is team. And the team part of the practice is quite frankly, it's the highest component of overhead. And your team to me is all your human capital. That's your front office people, your clinical team members, your assistants, your hygienists. Also, team would be any outsourcing. Outsourcing is a bigger and bigger mm-hmm. component of what we do. In our office, we bring a dental anesthesiologist in. That's part of the team. In our office, we also do a contract with a dentist to come check hygiene occasionally and to do some fill-in stuff. So that's part of team to me. And where one area that I do differentiate how we track team overhead in my world is something I learned from the DSOs, is I put dentist compensation into team overhead.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, so I include the dentist compensation and into team overhead. So with all of that being said, typically team overhead is probably going to be closer to 45 to 50% of your practice revenue.
Where do you put, say you lose a team member, mm-hmm. and so you use a third party yeah. to start verifying mm-hmm. insurance or to do medical billing. Where do you put yeah. that? Because that's replacing, it is a service, but it's replacing.
Yeah, that, all person. Those things are team members to me.
Okay.
Okay. So
yeah,
that's,
I agree.
That's a,
that'd people
be like
may
a,
not look at it that
that's
way.
A contract labor line item
yeah.
Or a service specific, uh-huh. you know, like I wouldn't include Revenuel and Modento
right.
into team.
No.
But I would.
Something that a human in your yeah. practice could be doing, but you're outsourcing to someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would be the pay of a team.
So
member.
So we look at the team overhead, and that typically is in the 45 to 50%, maybe even slightly more than that, especially given what's going on right now.
What's going on right now?
Well, it's just, you know, it's a lot of issues with team members, yeah. you know. And all of that. So, you know, so that's kind of my big difference. And I believe in paying all dentists like associates. So if you're, you know, if you're the market rate in your market, in your area is 25% for associate, pay yourself 25%. If your market rate's 30%, pay yourself 30%. If your market rate's 35%, pay yourself 35%. If your market rate is 35% and then minus some lab bill, pay yourself that way. Literally pay yourself, as a team member so you can really pull out what your business income is. So that was number one was facility. Number two was team. And number three is, you know, in business term, it's cost of materials, cost of goods sold. And that will be in our office. That's our supply bill. You know, mm-hmm. all the stuff we buy through direct vendors and through our distribution partners, our laboratory bills, mm-hmm. and our what I call biologics, or, you know, your bone, membranes, implants, pins, tacks, all of that stuff. Those are your materials or your cost of goods sold. Now, one thing that I do or I encourage offices to do is on the lab side of things, I like to really break that down when possible. Again, once you get into this optimized phase, so I break it down into ortho lab, my sleep apnea labs, and my implant lab. So I want to keep a good eye on that so I can start having a measure of, hey, I'm just making up numbers here, but somewhat kind of true. I'm doing $400,000 in sleep apnea, but my lab bill's $200,000. Something's not right there, right? Because if you lump it all in, then, you know, something's, you know, not good, you know, something doesn't look right. And lab expense in the traditional model has been in the 10% ballpark. In the CEREC model, that lab bill drops down to 4 or 5%. And in my model, it's 10 to 15% because we have higher lab bills, not because we pay more, but we're doing procedures that have a higher percentage of lab bill. So that's kind of where I look at cost of goods sold and materials. So again, the first category was facility. The second category was team. The third category is cost of goods sold or materials. The fourth category I'd like to talk about is marketing. And marketing is going to be varied very much so on what phase of your practice career you're in. You know, like I'm in a phase where my marketing budget is, you know, like 3-4% right now. But we're getting ready to launch into a growth phase where I want to do mainly hybrids. Mm-hmm. So I have to attract those types of patients, more
right.
of those patients.
For a specific type of patient. Yeah, but as a startup, they're marketing totally
10%,
different.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it's not unusual for a marketing budget to be 10% in the startup world.
Income and is not as high as well.
Yeah, the revenue is not as high.
Right.
Yeah.
So then that means it's going to be a higher percentage.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you got to understand that. But it's an important thing to kind of keep track of. And look, I believe that you should always be marketing. Okay. You got to be spending some money. If you don't have zero, and marketing is where I put in services like, you know, any of these dashboard services, any of these patient communication services,
okay.
Any of those types of software as a service that's you know, kind of automation deals. That's where I kind of put those in. I put those into the marketing component because in a way, the patient communication, like Revenuel, like Modento, like, you know, XYZ company, those are marketing. That's what those things are designed to do. Any social media things like that, any services that you use there, that's marketing, you know. If you're reaching a point where you have a dedicated marketing team member, I'd put that under marketing and not necessarily team member, just because I want to know what I'm spending to really market my practice. So again, 4 out of the 5, facility, team, materials, marketing. And then last one is miscellaneous, you know, and this is kind of, this is the catch-all.
The gray area.
Well, number one, it's not always, it's not just the gray area, but it's the catch-all. Office supplies, mm-hmm. you know, minor things that, you know.
Team outings.
Yeah, like team outings, CE. Lunches, CE, kind of all of those things to me fall in a catch-all of miscellaneous. And then, of course, any type of net business benefits is what somebody once told me to call it. If you have any business benefits that you try to legally run through your office, I would put these under miscellaneous expense. So, you know, that's kind of fine-tuning the overhead. So, Meredith, if you don't mind, just kind of repeat the 5 categories that we talked about.
Yeah,
there.
So we have the facility, the team, the materials, marketing, and miscellaneous. And when you talked about some of the things in miscellaneous, mm-hmm. you talked about in the marketing, you talked mm-hmm. about some of the business automations. Mm-hmm. So that kind of takes us into our next part of Optimize is what business automations, I mean, we don't have to talk about specific things, sure. specific ones, but kind of just a broad idea. I know in the office we use quite a few ways, and I would say a lot of these are just communication between either the team, the doctors, the patients. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
So business automations, I've kind of got 3 things it's really about communication mm-hmm. between the patient and the team members. So that's kind of there. So let's kind of break that down a little bit. You know, one thing that we were turned on to by Holly, who's my coach, is the use of Slack.
Yeah.
Which is
a very corporate thing, you know.
Yeah,
it's all over TikTok as like a corporate thing. So you wouldn't think a small business or a team of 10 people would really benefit from it.
So Meredith, you've been part of our Slack. What mm-hmm. are the pluses and minuses, or how did you walk into thinking about Slack as an option in the practice?
Well, I thought it was just one more app on my phone. Mm-hmm. This is annoying. Why can't we? We had a group text mm-hmm. forever, right?
Yeah.
But then it was hard because you go to text things that are irrelevant to half the people, but it still has to be in the text. And then we start talking about funny things in the text because we are mostly friends. But then, you know, we get one new person and it's like, ooh, let's not scare them yet. So everyone kind of backs off the text. So the nice thing about Slack is you can have different channels. Like you could have a leadership where you could have your key team leads in just in there. So if you need something to send to just them,
somewhat private.
Yeah. You can direct message. I mean, as we get new team members and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even have her number. Yeah. You can easily direct message somebody, you know, text me if you need me. And then also people use it for day-to-day communication. We don't do that as much.
Not during day-to-day, during office, patient time.
But I know Sully's office does. But their building is bigger. Yeah. They'll Slack someone directly, like maybe downstairs, and say, hey, just a heads up about this patient this afternoon. So it kind of takes on chat, text message, also emails. Mm-hmm. I mean, instead of doing like a newsletter of like, this is our plan for the next month, or remember we have a meeting or an event, it all goes in Slack. It actually links with the Google Calendar, and each day it reminds you of events that are on
birthdays,
the calendar.
Team outings, things like that.
And then we have like a fun weekend side of it too, in a channel where people post about what they're doing.
For those that want to be very personable, you know, there's those that are like very like, I'm here for work and this is what I do. I'm not interested in jokes.
Yeah. And then the rest kind of us are posting pictures on the beach.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think having some type of communication program. I think text chains get you by for a couple of 2, 3, 4 team
when
members. You know,
we still have small group.
Yeah,
messages.
But that's separate from Slack, right?
And it's usually not work related.
But the nice thing about Slack is also there's a record of it.
Right.
You know, so if like we've had issues where in the past I've said, hey, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And the team members have literally gone back through and said, well, here you go.
So a great thing of this was Slack was amazing during the shutdown.
Yep.
You were able to post videos in Slack and, you know, people delete texts that day. Like I have no storage on my phone. So like right now I'm having to delete anything with like a video or photos in my messages. So having it in Slack is like, it's still there where they can go back and go, oh, remember he was there for us. Right. He said he was going to do this. He's looking out for us here and there. Yeah. And it was able to update everyone in a
in a way that you knew people would see.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, and so when you have HR, when you're an HR challenged person like myself, there's some negatives of having everything.
When you are HR.
So no. That's kind of slack there. And you mentioned a Google Calendar in there as well. And one of the things that I use in our practice is, I think it used to be called Google Apps. Now I think it's called G Suite for Business. And that's where Google, yes, it's Big Brother or whatever it may be, but we allow Google to run our office email. So it's connected to our domain, RaleighDentalArts.com or 3D-Dentist.com. And that way we get to use Gmail as our email server. We get to use Google Calendar, Google Drive, Google Docs, Google Spreadsheets. So that allows us to have a, kind of like Slack has the, your communication. Now our, like all our scorecards, our trackers, our patient trackers, mm-hmm. All of these things are in a Google Drive. That I can selectively share to certain team members or all team members,
right.
Calendars like, I don't know how everybody's, how complicated everybody's life is or how integrated their life is into their office life. But mine's pretty well integrated. So I share my personal calendar, my 3D dentist calendar. I share those things, my kids' school calendar. I kind of share those with the office so I'm not having to write these things down. And the key team members or all team members have access to that so they can kind of see, if the kids are out of school, they know that I need that day off. Or like I have a golf tournament coming up for my a memorial golf tournament for my buddy from a few years back. And so that's the one Monday this month, and that's normal work day. And so I put that in the calendar, and that way everybody sees it and they know that, hey, I need that day off. And so
we live by these calendars.
Yeah, people. We do. Yeah. I mean,
it's like everything. You weren't on this, but I had to send a text to some of our leadership team at the office. This wasn't on the calendar, and this wasn't on the calendar, and this wasn't on the calendar. I can't help if I don't know, because we literally, I remember I didn't have a Google Calendar before this. It's like now I can't imagine. I don't even know where I would be. Yeah.
And the benefit, look, there's some negatives in having Big Brother Google have all this information. Listen, they're listening to us anyway. What the hell?
We don't put specifics.
I put everything on there. That's my life. But having Google allows you to use the Google Calendar app on your mobile phone, right. The Gmail app on your mobile phone,
notifications,
the Google Drive app on your mobile phone, whether you're Android, whether you're iOS, whether you're what XYZ, you have desktop versions of it. So that's why I use the G Suite for Business for that. And then kind of, the next step of it is patient communication softwares. And this would be your RevenueWells, your Modentos. I'm sure I'm missing other ones that are out there. And along the same line as radio headsets. When you want to get serious about having great communication, radio headsets are phenomenal. And just kind of along the way, just generally speaking, every one of these things are met with resistance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Meredith's like, oh, it's just another app. And now you're like, literally, I get it.
I'm in like maybe 10 Slack.
Yeah. And we use it at 3D Dentist
courses,
until we get our own app, which I've been threatening for a long time.
Yeah.
you know, so those kind of things are important. So that's kind of the business automations. It's really about communication.
The radios probably have the most pushback, but they are probably the most useful.
Yeah, because the radios are day-to-day. Right. Like Slack is, you know, maybe after work every once in a while. You know, shared calendar is a kind of one thing. But, you know, our headset radios are literally
double, they can give
multiple
you a heads
times
up
per hour.
So you can be ready for a patient before just bringing a patient to you and, like, throwing them at you, you know?
So, you know, as your office gets a little bit larger, as you want to really optimize, to kind of go with the phrase there, you want radio headsets and you want Google Drive. You want Google G Suite for business. You want to have Excel sheets. You know, we keep our firm financial arrangements in Google Drive so that way we have a copy of it that's accessible by everybody. And you want products
and
like
iPads,
Slack.
And then you have iPads that can bring them up.
Yeah, and the iPads can bring up all those things. And honestly, iPads should be part of, I think you bring that up. Yeah, part of business automation is I think every operatory should have an iPad because we can do our patient financing through that. We can do our firm financial arrangements through that. We can do our treatment outline through that. You know, those of you that are doing smile design, you can do that. You know, you can do your consents and forms and all of that through iPads. So there's a lot of benefit to these things. And a lot of this, where we started, but we really doubled down during the COVID lockdown or the time right after COVID.
It gave people time to kind of reset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Step back, slow down. I mean, I think the people who implemented sleep is something that kind of takes a few months to get started on, and there's a lot of paperwork that goes into it. And so I think the people who took the time during the lockdown to implement sleep have done really well because they – there's no other time you have that much time to update medical
history. That's why you're saying we need another lockdown?
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking to implement sleep or just hire a person. So we've talked about going from good to great and the profit growth that comes with fine-tuning your overhead. Yeah. We've talked about the business automations and kind of the key things that we use to automate the business and kind of run, I would say kind of run smoothly with communication.
So remember, if we go back from to phase three, which was about going from a practice to a business, you know, Slack is so important to me because I got to be able to communicate with team members
easily.
If I'm on vacation,
easily.
You know, then I'm vacation. I'm checked out. But look, it's your business. You got to be somewhat available. And I like to be able to, you know, I like on vacations to spend 30 minutes. Usually, it's when I'm on the toilet. And you know, I like to just check in. I go through Slack and I'll read all the messages, see the scorecards, kind of get a feel for the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing is everyone posts their scorecards there.
Yeah. So that, you know, in our office we do that. So
yeah.
Yeah. So what's the last part of optimizing, Meredith?
The last part would be the exit strategy.
Yeah,
and I know you've talked about, there's a couple different ways that this can be done. And before we get into exit strategy, I want to say, like, I think the Dental Business Made Simple framework, I know it's like a circle and it's an ongoing process, but I think there's times where people can kind of go back and forth.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's not always like a linear, even though linear circle wouldn't really make sense, but like, it's not always going in order.
Yeah.
But this is kind of, because I know we know people that have done this and then kind of started over, just depending on what you want or what your niche, I guess, you want it to be. But talk to us about the different ways that people can go about the exit strategy.
Yeah, so, you know, I break exit strategy down into three things, okay? And before I get into those three things, a few comments on exit strategy. Traditionally speaking, exit strategy has been something you did towards end of life, okay? Or end of dental life.
80.
You know, or when you, we think of it as retirement. And I think in the modern world, it's 2022, exit strategy is something that in a way should kind of always be on your mind because you never know. You never know what could happen to your hands. You never know what could happen to your life. And I think there's a value in going through exercises, going through a process just to see what it looks like, because it'll going through a process of an exit strategy and getting your practice valued and kind of seeing what's out there isn't, hey, like, you know, like I've gone through that, not because I want to get rid of my practice necessarily, but I want to see what it looks like. You know, what does that look like? How long do I have to stick around? How long do I not have to stick around? What money do I get? Why am I only getting this much? How do I get more? Or why am I getting this much? And maybe now is the time to get rid, you know, all these things kind of come up from that.
So you can, and so you can figure out how to make it better
when
the time is ready.
Yeah, because then you're like, okay, this is what I need to do to get to this number, right? Right. And so that's important. I don't think exit strategy is an end of life or end of dental life perspective mm-hmm. anymore.
And then we also have known people who have had multiple practices, mm-hmm. sold those, built them up, sold mm-hmm. them, or sold them all together and started yeah. a more niche yeah. implant only, yeah. cosmetics.
Any number of things. Yeah. You know, John's going through TMD, that right now, right? Yeah. So, yeah. So on the exit strategies, there's three core ways to kind of look at this. One is the incremental sale. Okay. In other words, you bring in associates and they buy in an incremental way. You know, that's typically going to be like 25-33%. You know, if you ultimately want to be three doctors with equal ownership, it's essentially the partnership model. Okay. That's an incremental sale. Mm-hmm. So for example, in my situation, you know, I think our practice is probably a three doctor practice,
right.
You know, so at one point, maybe I'll look at selling 33%, a slice of it to an associate. They become a partner now. Mm-hmm. The next time go around, I'll sell another 33 of my 66%
right.
or 67%. And that'll be the third partner. And then ultimately we become equal partners in this endeavor. So that's right. that's the incremental sales strategy. And for those of you that are, I think this is something that's not looked at early enough in a lot of people in the modern practice is this. And so incremental sale is one strategy to look at. Another strategy is the traditional private full sale. In other words, look, I'm ready to walk away, or I'm ready to walk away in a year or two. Mm-hmm. I want to sell.
I'll become the associate.
I'll become the associate. You become the owner, top dog, HBIC.
Yeah.
You
know. Which is probably the most common.
Yeah, which has traditionally yeah. been the most common. I don't right think now. It's going to be the most common moving forward
right.
necessarily. But so that's that typical model. And again, for those of you that are considering that, or you're in the economic, you know, ballpark where, like, you can't incremental sale a $600,000-$700,000 practice. It's just, it doesn't yeah. make sense, right? It's you can't slice up a small pie,
right.
But so much. But
well, that's not enough to be worth it. You would do better as an associate,
maybe,
right?
maybe not.
Unless you're looking, some people aren't looking for more money.
Everybody's different, yeah. right? So, but traditionally speaking, incremental sales are typically going to be $2-4 million
right.
offices.
Larger.
The private full sale is typically going to be your $600,000 to $1.2 million practice. That's typically it. And personally, I probably wouldn't do a private full sale for anything more than $700,000-$800,000. But that's just me, because I look at it. There's got to be some upside. If I buy a $1.2-1.3 million practice, really, where is the upside in something like that? And so that's there. And then the third one is, it's a relatively newcomer, probably in the last 10 years, and for sure, the last couple of years, and that's a sale to a quote unquote corporate entity, mm-hmm. the DSO. And what I'm seeing in the DSO space now is there's DSO, there's corporate DSO, DPO, Dental Partnership Organization, mm-hmm. and now recently I read about a DLO, which is a Dental Leadership Organization. And so this is just lipstick on a pig. Ultimately, yeah. it's a way to dress up somebody else. You know,
a percentage.
Yeah, yeah.
A
corporate entity.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a group. It's a large group practice. I would argue that an incremental sale is a group practice, but yeah. in today's world, a group practice is multi-location.
Yes.
You know, centralized services, dental supports organizations. Kind of where the term DSO came along, and so that's an option for a lot of practices. And where I fall into all of this is, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't at least explore this option. You know, I've talked to a lot of, and typically they're a little bit on the gray-haired side of things,
yeah.
that they say, I'll never sell yeah. to corporate. And
well,
I get it, but you know,
but then
you owe it to yourself and your family to at least look at that option and explore it, with multiple options, because in the corporate DSO space, there's the 100% ownership model, there's the, you know, partnership model where they're all going to own vast majority of it. So they're going to own 60%, 70%, and then, you know, you're a 40% or 30% a stakeholder in the model. There's a true partnership model where, you know, you own it and you bring in associates, and, you know, kind of there's lots of different models, and just like, you know, everything else in life, there's lots of different organizations that you can belong to that have their pluses and minuses.
Yeah. And I think when you said people don't look into it early mm-hmm. enough, they build these great, like you have mm-hmm. built great, big, larger practices, and then they don't want to sell it. So they wait until they're 60, 70 years old.
Yeah.
a single person can't afford to come in and buy that, especially a young person who's just out of school with a ton of debt.
And at some point you get too big to sell it in slices.
Right. And then your only option is a DSO. But if you would have looked into it earlier, found people, you know, prior and they've bought in, then you only own a percentage. Yeah. It'd be a little bit easier. So I think not waiting is keeping you to what you want.
You know, look, I think every few years you should go through an exercise of what does it look like if I had to exit? You know, whether you want to retire or whether because like, holy shit, something happened to me, you know, any number of things. And so you got to look through that model and look, I just went through it because I like to go through exercises. I like to see what things are worth. And it was eye-opening to me is how they value practices, how some of the decisions I made affect the final valuation because, you know, look, at the end of the day, when you start looking at DSO sales, you know, you're looking at 6x to 8x EBITDA. And so if you spend an extra 10 grand on something, when it comes time to sell it, that's $60,000 to $80,000 that you kind of lost out on, you know, because so you really want to kind of do your cash flow based on when you need it. And that's why it kind of falls into the optimize phase there. Is that it looks at that. So that's kind of optimized going from good to great. It's incremental, looking at the incremental growth from managing your overhead, managing communication through automation services like Slack, G Suite for Business, and looking at your exit strategy. And just kind of remember, everybody, this isn't a linear process. This is something that you can kind of jump around. But I really don't think you should be worried, you know, this is my personal opinion. I don't think you should be worried about fine-tuning overhead. You should be worried about overhead, don't get me wrong, but you shouldn't be worried about fine-tuning and worrying about every 0.5% until you reach a certain size and you've kind of implemented the revenue engine, the clinical revenue engine, because that's where the real growth occurs in your practice, and then those kind of things. And don't get caught up in tech heaven with Slack and shared calendars. You can get paralysis from analysis and all this stuff, and really
typical dentist overthinking.
What typical, you know, any high functioning human being kind of perspective. So keep all of this in mind, that we have 4 phases in our Dental Business Made Simple. Phase 1 is accelerate, slowing down to speed up. Phase 2 is your clinical revenue engine, working smarter, not harder. And honestly, we need to spend more time in these 2 phases. Phase 3 is for those of us that say, you know what, I want to continue to grow and get physically larger. That's going from a practice to a business. And that's the scale phase. And then phase 4 is optimize, going from good to great. And optimize, honestly, will have the least financial impact in your practice. The most financial impact will come from phase 1 and 2. The most time impact will come from phase 3. And then phase 4 is really about, you know, taking out every little, you know, it's like squeezing blood out of turnip, basically. So thank you guys for tuning in. If we can help you at 3D Dentists, it's 3D-dentists.com. We have phenomenal programs and workshops built around helping you walk through the Dental Business Made Simple framework and the retreat, and all of that stuff is so amazing. And now we have a nonprofit office, which we'll probably talk about here in an upcoming episode called Smile 3D. And take everything semi-seriously, and we'll see you guys next week.